Hushed voices and shuffling papers echo through the cavernous halls of the imperial bureaucracy in Constantinople. Pens made from reeds scratch out notes and figures on rolls of papyrus. They record legal decisions and tax records that stretch from the mouth of the Danube River on the Black Sea to the cataracts of the Nile in North Africa, from the sands of the Syrian desert to the craggy peaks of the Balkans. Thanks to these bureaucrats, the soldiers who guard the empire's frontiers will receive their pay. Swords and spears and shields and armor make their way from government-run factories to border forts. Food and horses and all of the other necessary supplies are purchased, collected, and transferred from farms to the army units who need them. City walls are repaired, new aqueducts built, and port facilities maintained. The hundreds of transport ships that carry enormous amounts of grain from Alexandria in Egypt to feed the 500,000 people living in Constantinople can be funded and organized. The year is 480. This room full of bureaucrats and their shuffling papyrus rolls and whispered questions and scratching pens is the beating heart of a thriving Roman Empire. There's no fall happening here, with provinces splitting off and barbarian armies claiming one region after another. In fact, things are looking up. Only half of the Roman Empire actually fell, the western half. While Odovaker was deposing Romulus Augustulus and ruling the rump of Italy as a king after 476, these government officials left their homes in Constantinople in the morning, went to work in the bureaucracy, and headed home at the end of the day. Whatever they thought was happening hundreds of miles away in Britain or Gaul, their lives went on much as they had a century before. While the West fell to pieces, the eastern half of the Roman Empire survived and adapted. It would continue for another 1,000 years. From Wondery, this is Tides of History. I'm your host, Patrick Wyman. Welcome, and thanks for joining me today. One quick note before we get started. I want to clarify the structure of Tides of History, which I realize may be a bit confusing. Think of it like a TV show with two seasons, Fall of Rome and Rise of the Modern World, that happen to be running at the same time. We'll do two episodes of one season one month, then two episodes of the other season the next month, and so on, with interviews sprinkled in. I hope this clears it up, and let's get back to business. The Eastern Roman Empire, what many call the Byzantine Empire, is going to be our topic for the next two episodes. We'll follow it from its deep, centuries-long roots up to the beginning of the 6th century. In today's episode, we'll take a wide-ranging view of this Eastern Empire, looking at how it came into being and how it worked. Traditionally, historians have talked about this Eastern Roman Empire as one of Roman political concepts, Christian piety, and Greek language and culture. What exactly does that mean? Follow along with me as we break it down. Next time, we'll follow a family of civil servants and soldiers from the start of the split between the two empires to the beginning of the 6th century. Don't worry, we'll eventually get to the great Justinian and the reconquest of the West. Justinian is one of the most interesting and most important figures in all of Roman history. He deserves a few episodes in his own right. This Eastern Roman Empire is stuck between a rock and a hard place. On one side, we have the United Roman Empire of the first couple of centuries AD, which scholars have been idolizing since the Renaissance as a peak of civilization. On the other side, we have the Byzantine disasters in the later Middle Ages, which ended in the Ottoman Empire's conquest of Constantinople in 1453. Because we know how the story begins and how it ends, it's not easy to treat what came in the middle on its own terms. We either read everything forward from the imagined glories of the High Empire or backward from that final, pathetic end. On top of that, we can add a hefty dose of cultural and religious friction. This Byzantine Empire was Greek instead of Latin, Orthodox instead of Catholic, and above all, Eastern instead of Western. Those are powerful concepts. When we put all that together, we end up with a vague idea of an alien empire, Roman and Delorean.